Good afternoon, and thank you all for being here. At this time, I'll call the order to the regular meeting of the Executive Committee for CDAG for Monday, June 2nd, 2014. And please have the roll call.
Blythe?
Here.
Cathedral City?
Present.
Coachella?
Here.
Desert Hot Springs?
Here.
Indian Wells?
Present.
Indio?
Present.
La Quinta?
Here.
Palm Desert?
Here.
Palm Springs?
Here.
Rancho Mirage?
Here.
Riverside County 3rd District?
Here.
Riverside County 4th District?
Here.
Riverside County 5th District?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. And before we begin, tomorrow's election day. We've got quite a few of our members here that are on the ballot and that, and we wish them all good luck.
Absolutely.
And with that, please rise for the flag salute. And John, would you lead us?
Oh, yeah. Please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item on the agenda is public comment. Anybody wishing to speak on an item which is on the agenda, I'd ask that you please fill out a request to speak form. It's there at the back of the room and give it to our clerk. And that anyone wishing to speak on an item not on the agenda may do so at this time. Seeing none, we'll move on to executive director comments. Anybody have anything they'd like to say? Seeing none.
The one item, Mayor, is just to reinforce the last item on the agenda, and that is June 30th, the General Assembly, where CDAG officially approves its budget. That does take place on June 30th at La Quinta Resort. At 6 p.m., the Executive Committee will be an hour before that. Please do what you can to encourage your colleagues to show up. We'll need to have 50% of the elected officials in the Coachella Valley and Blythe attend for us to have an approved budget. So look forward to seeing you all there.
To be joking.
We've been doing it for 40 years, so we better not fail this time.
I hope you don't have a Blythe yet, Sean.
Yeah.
You don't mean anything by that, Joey.
I'm sorry, Joey.
We're not all like Joey. Excuse me.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to introduce to the members of CBAG this evening our new representative from the city of Rancho Mirage, Iris Mondrich.
All right. Welcome, Iris.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll move on to closed session. Anybody?
We'll need to clear the room out for a closed session.
Well, let me announce what it is. I think that's appropriate, and that's so people understand. Pursuant to this is a public employee's performance evaluation pursuant to government code section 54957, and it's referenced the executive director. At this time, we will go into closed session, and those not involved, please leave the room.
And given the heat, this room over here is open and is air conditioned. So.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, at this time I'll reconvene the CDAG's executive agenda, and we'll move on to the consent calendar. Any questions or comments may be made by members?
Was there anything to report?
No.
Thank you.
Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Move consent.
Second. Been moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. All right, we'll move on to our business session items. The first one is the extension of employment agreement for the executive director. Gary?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
But this is a carryover item from last meeting in a closed session to further discuss the agreement was scheduled at this meeting. The staff recommendation is to approve the employment agreement extension for the executive director.
Okay. Questions of staff? Okay, well, we've gone through this. Everybody's ready to approve.
Discussion.
Need to make comments.
Your comments.
Yes. City of Palm Springs fully supports this agreement for Mr. Kirk and thanks the Personnel Committee for their hard work. I think it's a great suggestion to agendize it for us, so we fully support it.
Thank you, Steve. Okay.
City of Kenyon Wells will be voting in favor of the contract. However, I'd like it noted that our preference would be a 2 to 3 year extension rather than the 5. And also noted that when we were skating dangerously close to stepping out of bounds in our previous discussion, this would be the point in time where a lot of that other stuff that we discussed earlier should have been discussed. So I appreciate the fact that in the future we'll have a closed session to discuss performance, but any contract issue has to be done in this open meeting. So that was the best I can. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, was there, I know there's a motion.
A second.
Was there a second?
Yeah,
okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And one abstention. Did you abstain, Ted?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. So it was unanimous.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Well deserved. You have your
work. Here we go.
Drinks around, Tom.
Nothing leaves.
Okay, we'll move on to item number 2, and that's nomination committee. Tom or Gary, you're going to do it?
I will. We do this every year. A nomination committee is created to consider the next vice chair, who likely becomes a chair the following year. And I'd recommend that the chair, current chair, Mayor Don Adolf, past chair, Joey DeKunik, and the previous past chair, Supervisor John Benoit, serve as your nomination committee, and that they meet and provide a recommendation to the rest of the executive committee on the vice chair and chair slate before your next executive committee meeting.
I want to say that I think that we will have a listing of who's in line for this. We normally take the person who's been the last person in the lineup that has been that has served as vice chair to come up, and we will have a listing to show who that person is.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we can do that meeting by phone. We need to do it.
Is that we can do it after this meeting.
You have that information.
You have that information. If for those that aren't on the nomination committee, you can stay 5 minutes after the meeting, and we'll just take care of it.
Sure.
Please do it.
Okay. All right. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes unanimous. All right. We'll move on to item number 3, and that's proposed for the year 2014-2015 budget. Gary?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Presented to you is CVEC's balanced draft budget for fiscal year 2014-2015 for your review. Staff would like to thank the budget subcommittee members, Mr. Frank Spivacek from the City of La Quinta and Mr. Frank Lucchino from the City of Hawaii, for their time on the budget. The budget subcommittee reviewed the draft budget with staff on May 30th and a few questions and was satisfied with the draft budget. As a quick summary overview, and as documented on page 23, CVEC is projecting total revenues of $119 million versus $73 million budgeted for the prior year. Of the $119 million, $114 million is transportation revenue, which is roughly $46 million more than last year's amount. The main reason for the increase is due to an increase in other transportation funding revenues, which is based on the timing of funding on arterial projects being constructed. In the Community Resources Department, revenues are almost identical, projected at $2.5 million. With grants and AB-2766 funding from the jurisdictions, CVEC anticipates that there will be sufficient funding to continue the regional street sweeping program for the upcoming fiscal year. In the Energy and Environmental Resources Department, Revenues are projected at $1.96 million and is also almost identical to the prior year's amount. The utilities grant is set to expire in December 2014. Over on the expenditures side, reference on page 24, CBEC is projecting a total of $132 million versus $79 million in the prior year, an increase of $53 million. In line with the revenues, transportation accounts for $127.9 million. Due mainly to the construction work on regional arterials, construction and project cost is budgeted at $118 million, an increase of $49 million over the last year's budget. Expenditures for the community resources of $2.4 million and for the energy and environmental resources of $2 million, again, are almost identical to the prior year's numbers. The Administrative and Personnel Committee, in their February 24th meeting, concurred with staff's recommendation on the following. One, a CPI increase of 1.1% for the membership use assessment, which resulted in a net increase of $3,366. Page 13 shows the breakdown of the membership use assessment. Number two, increase the staff training allowance of each staff by $500, bringing the amount to $1,250, and also allow staff to utilize it for wellness programs. Three, a 1.1 cost of living salary increase. Four, an additional 1.5 salary increase for the implementation of the employee's cost sharing of the employer-paid member contribution of 1.5%. This is in accordance to the recommended phased approach for the employees to pay their share of the CalPERS retirement contribution of 7%. With this, the classic employees will now be paid 3%. And finally, reinstate step increases and merit vacation leave. With these proposed increases, total salaries and benefit expenditure for the upcoming fiscal year surprisingly reflects a decrease of 0.2%, or $3,842, over the fiscal year 2013-2014 budget. Finally, CBEC is projecting a small surplus of $11,000 for fiscal year 2014-2015. No action is required at this time. Staff will be recommending that the Technical Advisory Committee approve the budget at their June 9th meeting. We will ask for your approval on the budget at the next Executive Committee meeting on June 30th. Between now and then, if you have any questions or suggestions on the budget, please do not hesitate to call me. This concludes staff presentation. Staff will be happy to answer any questions that committee members may have.
Thanks, Gary. Questions of staff? See, none?
Thank you.
Look, the bottom line, we're going to be a balanced budget.
Yes. It's a balanced budget.
Very good. That's what we'd like to hear.
More in.
Thank you.
We don't have to take any action on this.
No.
Okay. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks.
All right, we'll move on to our next item, and that's an update of major amendments to include the City of Desert Hot Springs and Mission Springs Water District as permittees under the Coachella Valley Municipal Species Habitat Conservation Plan. Katie?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. We wanted to provide you with a brief update on the status of the major amendment we're working on now with the City of Desert Hot Springs and Mission Springs Water District. We're delighted that this is finally making its way through all of the member agencies of the Coachella Valley Multiple Species Habitat Conservation Plan. So I'm just going to give you a very brief overview of what's happening with this major amendment. Your city managers have already heard this presentation at the TAC meeting a few weeks ago and have been notified, and some of you already have this on your agendas coming up this week, but we've asked that the major amendment be placed on agendas for city councils, county board of supervisors, as well as our other permittees. So just very briefly, the major amendment is one that will bring the City of Desert Hot Springs and Mission Springs Water District into the Coachella Valley Multiple Species Plan. This is following the efforts of the city over the last number of years to become a member of the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission and join the plan. This map shows you the northeastern part of the Multiple Species Plan area. The lands shown in green are those lands that are within our conservation area boundaries. And we are showing the city limits of Desert Hot Springs in red and the boundary for Mission Springs Water District in blue. Essentially, what's happening here is we're adding those two jurisdictions and adding the city limits of Desert Hot Springs. So here, in a close-up view, you can see there is a small portion of the city of Palm Springs that's within the Mission Springs Water District, but most of Mission Springs serves Desert Hot Springs. Adding the city limits in purple, that shows you actually the area that would technically be added to the plan is the land within the city limits, because everything outside of city limits is already in the plan. Here again, a closer view, and just to clarify, the city of Desert Hot Springs did an annexation in 2010 to annex the area from their then existing boundary to the I-10 freeway. At that time, that portion of their city limits was added to the multiple species plan, so we're not adding that one again. That's relevant in that they also became a member or a participant in the plan, at least in part, so we're adding the remainder. What essentially happens is 770 acres of land shown here in red, of lands that were removed when the city chose not to participate in 2006 are getting added back in, so we have some additional conservation. And I think one of the positive aspects is to demonstrate this great success we've had in our land acquisition program. This map shows you the lands shown in bright green are those that have been acquired for the multiple species plan. All together, in the entire plan area, we've acquired about 84,000 acres of land since the plan was started. And here in Desert Hot Springs, about one-third of the lands within the conservation areas along Morongo Wash and Mission Creek, which are those long linear areas that are designed to protect habitat for species and a connection point, as well as a way for sand transport to occur. We've done quite a bit of acquisition. The lands shown in red are privately held lands that still need to be acquired. We have an active acquisition program going on, and another benefit is that we're actively cleaning up these properties, removing a lot of trash, a lot of unfortunately dumping and things of that sort. The CBCC just authorized a contract with a fencing company to do some fencing and cleanup. So just very briefly, the major amendment timeline. At their meeting on March 13th, the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission approved the major amendment and certified the environmental document. Since then, we went to the City of Desert Hot Springs and Mission Springs Water District and received their approval in April. And as I mentioned earlier, we have sent it out to request that it go on your agendas, and we're working with your staff to place it on agendas. It's on the City of La Quinta and the City of Rancho Mirage agendas this week and others coming up in the next few weeks. Our goal is to try to get those done by the end of June or certainly by July so that we can have all the permittees who have to approve the plan. This will actually come back to CVAG in the form of a request for you to approve the plan. Today we're just giving you an update on the status of the major amendment. And likewise, the state and federal wildlife agencies also need to approve that. We're working to, in parallel, to have their process parallel ours, so that hopefully by the late end of summer, early fall, we can have this whole thing done. And we'll move forward with the Hot Springs and Mission Springs Water District as part of the multiple species team. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. This is just an information item. Okay.
Questions for staff?
I have one, sir.
Got a
PD. Sometimes when you get an opportunity, I like to see the percentage of land that's within each city. Because it's quite evident that the city of Desert Hot Springs is a major land in this whole process.
Mm-hmm. And that wasn't on council years ago when the decision was made to stay out of the plan.
But and those reasons were quite frankly that we were paying the largest share into the multi-species. But I just like to see that because it just shows that we are doing our part in this plan, and that even though we're 80% vacant land and that built out, you know, we still have done our part to move this project forward and to make it successful, and I'd just like to have that for the record.
Okay. I can certainly provide you with a percentage of land.
And as a last note, just want to thank Supervisor Marion Ashby for all his support in this whole process during the years.
Finally got it done.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you did the right side last time, too.
Yeah. John?
Yes, sir. Could you tell us if there are any legal challenges or has anything been filed? What are you anticipating?
I'll handle that one. Unfortunately, yes. We have been sued by the Sierra Club Their focus is very narrow, if there's such a thing as a friendly lawsuit. This seems to be one. It's a lawsuit where the Sierra Club supports the major amendment, supports Mission Springs and the city getting into the plan, but do have concerns about groundwater and don't believe the plan or the environmental documentation for the plan does enough to address groundwater. We are in the midst of settlement, mandatory settlement discussions with them, and that's all I can comment on at this stage.
Anyone else? Katie, just a comment. Any way to slip our problem with bighorn sheep into this thing?
We hope it doesn't take as long to resolve that problem, Mr. Chair.
That's something we'll have to deal with. Thanks,
we'll
Katie.
Deal with it. Thank you.
Okay. Again, no action is required on this, so we'll move on to the next one. It's Green for Life, Bomb Hazard Phase 3 project and Phase 1 benchmarking project.
Yeah, I'd like to make a change in the recommendation, staff recommendations here. We have had a couple of questions come in on the details of the contract with EcoMotion in particular. However, given the nature of this, we'd like to refer it back to the Energy and Environment Committee and the Technical Advisory Committee and have you reconsider this in 30 days. We don't see a major problem with doing so. So the staff recommendation is to have the Executive Committee refer this back to Energy and Environment and TAC. In the meantime, we'll work particularly closely with Palm Desert on the recommendation and the details.
Okay. Anybody have any questions of staff? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. That concludes our agenda for tonight, with the exception of announcements. With our executive committee, Monday, June 30th, that's going to be with our General Assembly, too. So we'll look forward to that, and that will start at 5 p.m. for our first meeting. With that, unless there's anything else, we'll stand adjourned.